Welcome back to the reading of Simplicity Parenting, and with commentary from me, the author, Kim John Payne. We're in chapter one, and we are now just moving on. This will be the fifth session of chapter one. And this begins with a little sample actually from my own life. So let's just dive into the text now. One of my favorite pictures of my wife is one I took when she was pregnant with our first child. She was sitting in a rocking chair, looking off deep in thoughts. She was right in front of a window, actually. And it's clear that she was thinking about the future. We had all these visions, these dreams of how we wanted our family to be. You know, how did you imagine your children? How did you picture yourselves as parents? You no doubt talked about aspects of your own upbringing. I know we did. Those you wanted to emulate and those you wanted to avoid at all cost. How did you imagine your home with your children? As parents, we don't often get to live the ideals. Not a spectator sport. Parenting is about being in the thick of it. We may be architects of our family daily lives, but it's hard to draw the blueprints of something that's constantly changing and growing. With kids, you don't have much time to dream, and parents are surprised by how far they've strayed from their dreams that they actually had for their family. It's true, they had sort of sketchy data at the time. You know, which one of you was pushing for the white couch and wasn't there talk of, let's just get one toy chest and keep everything in that. Even if some of the details were unrealistic, your dreams about family life had truth in them. They had meaning. And they still do. They show what you valued most when you began this huge undertaking, this family building. What inspired you then can inspire you still. It has to. Families need fresh infusions of hope and imagination. It's strange how we look for meaning everywhere, as though it will be new, not something we already know, and constantly have to remember, renew and reclaim as our own. Quite simply, like any work of art, families need inspiration, fresh infusions of hope and imagination. And once again, quite simply, like any work of art, families need inspiration, fresh infusions of hope and imagination. Do you remember mentally grafting what you loved and admired most in each other onto your child's future? Do you remember how you imagined your family group with shifting heights and shapes as the children grew? You imagined a life together with meals shared, games played, school days and chores, sorrows mended, stories told, little triumphs and celebrations. You imagined the milestones of birth and holidays, first steps, first words, first days of schools. But you also had a mental picture of less eventful moments, the stuff of everyday life, bedtime reading, tying shoes, sharing laughs, pink construction paper at Valentine's, ball games, almost in the darkness and dusk. You pictured a refuge, your own loving, perhaps quirky, no doubt noisy, fussy, supportive shelter of a like-featured but independent souls, with a space to accommodate and the smells that meant home, and maybe a sweet-natured dog or cat, once the kids are old enough to take responsibility and care for it, lying by the hearth. Not on the white couch. You dreamed of the comfort of family life, where each member could be their authentic self, well known and well loved. But did you ever, in your wildest dreams, imagine this much stuff all over the rug and crammed into every inch of space in your house? No way. That was one of those overlooked details in your family life dream. For a lot of parents I've worked with, this misalignment between what they imagined, what they dreamed, and what their family had become was enormous. And the discontent was not just in the details, the white couch or the toys everywhere. It was much more fundamental. I never thought I would become some sort of taxi service on steroids, I remember one mum saying, close to tears. Sometimes I feel like I'm relating more to their coaches, their flute, their dance teacher, their tutor, their therapist, than to them. She felt she'd become the vehicle, literally and figuratively, for her child's lives. Lives that had very little to do with her anymore, or with the family as a whole. A father taking me aside after a workshop. After exchanging small talk for a few minutes, he looks down at the carpet and then into my eyes, and he says, "Do you know what really surprises me?" he asks. "I've never thought it would be this hard, this draining. Don't get me wrong, I knew there'd be conflicts, and I expected plenty of them, especially when kids hit adolescence. I remember arguing with my parents as a teenager quite a lot, but I can't imagine what it'll be like when my son is a teenager, when our relationship now seems like it's staggering from one clash to the next. Everything is up for negotiation. Everything is talked about to death. He's like a miniature lawyer. I never imagined going toe to toe and arguing and negotiating 10 times a day with a 7-year-old. End of quote. We didn't think it would be like this. I've heard that phrase over and over again in meetings with parents. The family structures were variable, but whether I was meeting with a traditional married couple, same-sex partners, single parents, it didn't matter. The relationships were pretty consistent. Parents would talk about their dreams as something they had not only envisioned, but had realized. They would look back, sure, at their families where, as they imagined them for some time, before they veered off and became something else. Things have gotten so crazy. It didn't used to be this way, so out of control. And here's another quite simply. Quite simply, our daily lives can become disconnected from the hopes and dreams we hold for our family. Quite simply, our daily lives can become disconnected from the hopes and dreams we hold for our family. When we think back to what we imagined our lives would be like, we didn't think we would be fighting for our family's survival. Yet again and again, these would be the terms used and the feelings expressed. I saw parents caught up in a stress bath of a sort of fight-or-flight state that was not momentary. It had become the norm. Making do, flying by the seat of our pants, barely seeing each other, always improvising, revolving doors, crazy schedules, unchecked emotions, strangers in the same house. Our conversations were far-ranging and very moving. The parents would begin and come back full circle to this question. What do you need to move forward in a way that reclaims your hopes and dreams for your family? The dreams were still very much alive, that much was clear, but also painfully clear was the distance between those dreams and the present reality. What imagination can be brought to family life that you make and remake together as a family? Remember, nothing happens unless you dream it first. Can you recapture your dream of a family life that is big enough to accommodate all of its members? Can you realign with your reality and hopes you had for your family? With this in mind, we would turn our attention to the day or so we just spent together, and I'd ask them if they felt that the day held any flashpoints or particular problems. After assuring me that I had, ironically, witnessed the worst parenting day of their entire lives, they would mention incidences that had come up or often do. We would unpack the day, paying particular attention to the issues that caused the most distress to remember. The particulars might be very particular. Quote, and you saw how Joey can't even sit still through a meal. End of quote. But meanwhile, we would also be setting some broad parameters together. You see, by this time, we had already talked about their dreams for the family. And now the parents were beginning to address their worries and their concerns. Somewhere between the dreams and the concerns is the answer, the place to bring imagination, place, the place to start simplifying. Parents can sometimes feel overwhelmed by the problems, unable to see a pattern or a starting point. Parts of the day may be problematic, like mealtimes or bedtimes, and when we would discuss these, looking at them in the context of daily life, a lot was revealed. Such explosions are rarely the result of the activity itself. This is important. They arise from the pressures building up long before. As parents become more involved in simplifying, in increasing rhythm and predictability in the home, and we'll cover that in chapter 4, they learn how to build pressure valves, islands of calm throughout the day. At this early point, our goal is to take the pulse of the family, to see what's happening. How does this picture differ from our vision of family? What would make it better? This is the process that anyone can do. If you look objectively at the patterns of your days together, what are the flashpoints? These points at which tempers rise, cooperation evaporates, and can chaos ensue? Rather than address the particular worrisome details head on, it is important first to just simply acknowledge them. It's important as well to look at the areas of our daily lives and parents that are well aligned with our best intentions, or perhaps one should say the parenting that's aligned with our best intentions. What makes these areas work? In my meetings with parents, I would listen to their biggest concerns, and together we'd, well, back off a step or two. A good massage therapist, for example, does not push directly on a sore point. Instead, they work with the muscles on either side, loosening as they go. Healing work in family therapy needs to be pursued with similar grace so that the changes engendered further motivate and not cause resentment. Now, let's just pick up that point a little bit, because if, again, you know, in my previous commentary, just in the session that you've listened to, you know, I talked about considering what hopes and dreams were and how far one has come away from them. And in this session, we've actually drilled down a little bit more into actually what are the flash points, what are the things that are not going so well, where is it that we feel this kind of discontent, that this is just not okay. And if we can look at those, as I write about in the book and in the reading just now, I want to emphasize this point that these things don't come out of nowhere. We often focus on them, and it's understandable, actually, that we do focus on them, because they bug us. It's really hard, and it tends to draw our eye, our emotional eye, towards the things that aren't going well. But if we pan back out, or sort of go up to a 5,000 foot view, so to speak, and look at the flashpoint, look at where the problems occurred, there was a build up to it. There was a context. And what we're doing in simplifying and balancing family life, and in this whole approach that we call simplicity parenting, is actually saying, life is a whole. And if we can dial it back, life in general, what happens is that those sore points start to just get a little more space and grace surrounding either side of them, so that the mad rush to get out of the home in the morning to the carpool or the bus and get to school, and it's all really hard, and it just feels awful sometimes. If we can surround life, for the child, with more downtime the previous day, with just talking very, very briefly, in the evenings about what's to come, about getting stuff set out the night before, about trying to achieve less in the morning before the blow up. And as the kids go out the door or get in the car, there's things that are rhythmical and predictable about the car journey. All this builds up in a sense, the ability to be able to cope with the stress. It's just, it untangles it, it creates more space. So when the stress comes, when that sort of balloon of stress blows up and expands, there's more space either side of it to accept the expansion, if you can get that metaphor. Things happen, stresses happen, but they need space to expand into. And we can consciously create that space through this simplicity parenting approach. Okay, that's it for today. Thanks for listening in.